Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast coming at you. Well, we're recording here on a Tuesday, the day after the Players' Championship finishes on a Monday. We get ready for the Valspar Championship, and we'll be getting you ready for all of that here. But first, we'll take a look back at not the first major of the season, but the biggest payout of the season, the biggest tournament that is not a major, the Players' Championship. Cam Smith wins at Skeeter. I recall last week you telling me that he was the kind of player that had the game for this course. I hope it paid off for you because it certainly sounded like the right play. I know you had a pretty good week. What's your take on the players this week, man?
Well, of course, I didn't use Cam Smith because, you know, why would I do something like that? But, I mean, my core, though, you know, I had Hovland, I had Casey, I had Lowry, I had Zalatoris, who scored Hoagie, was up there for a while. So I mean, I had guys who were doing well. So, I mean, that's how it turned out to be a good week for me. But, didn't get to watch much, followed along a lot because visiting with family kind of throughout the week. So, but man, just, you know, what a wild scene that, you know, it took till Sunday afternoon to make the cuts. And then Monday golf, like, that was kind of cool.
As a person who's not working yet, a person who likes to sit around and watch golf, to have a real golf sweat on Monday, dude, that made my Monday awesome. Like, my whole week is already messed up and out of whack because of it, but it was absolutely awesome. I had people trying to get a hold of me. I'm like, dude, I'm watching golf. They, like, just forget. Pretend like this is an NFL Sunday because this is one of the biggest tournaments of the year. It's Monday time, so leave me alone. And as a guy with a Keegan Bradley ticket, I had some Keegan Bradley lineups as well. I certainly enjoyed that Monday finish. It was a great sweat. I ended up losing a few dollars between all my different investments, but I didn't lose nearly as much as I could have with, you know, the ace from Lowry. As you said, I had him in a few, and Bradley. What a fun tournament, man. And I thought at the one of the cooler things, I think, I don't know that it means anything, but when I was looking at the final standings, there was no T2, T3, T4. It was like minus 13, minus 12, minus 11, minus 10. Like this cream of the crop all differentiated themselves, and then they differentiated themselves from each other. It's just an awesome tournament, man. It's not a major, but it's always one that's going to be a major focal point of my interest every year.
Yeah, I want to focus on the top two for a minute. The first one, what tier do we put Cameron Smith in now? We did this, last week or 2 weeks ago, where we were talking about different tiers for different players. Like, where's Cam Smith at?
I mean, I feel like he's a guy that's going to win a major. I feel like this has been the stepping stone for guys like Sergio Garcia, Adam Scott. It also took them a while to win the major after they won this tournament. For some guys, we've seen it kind of be the after the fact, like a Webb Simpson. But I kind of think this is a prelude to his winning a major. He plays Augusta really well. I don't know that I'm going to put him in the spotlight to be my pick at Augusta this year, coming right off of this player's win. But I think he's still going to win a major. A guy with a major and a Players' Championship, he's got to get there first, would be upper echelon. It's not Tiger, Arnie, Rory, Brooks, but it is. I mean, it immediately puts you in the web. The guys I just mentioned who've won the Players, even a Jason Day territory. Now, maybe he doesn't quite get there because he hasn't had world number one dominance like Day did, and heck, I even think Sergio did as well. But, dude, I think he's on a trajectory for a long run inside the top 20, maybe not always inside the top 20, but I definitely think he's going to contend at majors. He's going to win one, maybe more. I like the mullet. I like the fact that he likes to spend his winnings on fishing stuff. Like, I really like Cam Smith. So maybe I overrate his future because of how much I just enjoy him as a fan. But I think he's up there. He's not quite Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka territory, but I mean, he is in that next tier. I think he's right there with a Shane Lowry type of guy who, by the way, I bet you Lowry wins a player sometime too.
Yeah. Is he, like, Cam Smith's got to be the same tier like Scottie Scheffler at this point in Hovland?
Like, he's ahead of Scheffler. I think Hovland's career is so young, it's hard to put him in the where he belongs because he only had a few chances at major tournaments so far. And unlike Morikawa, is, you know, same age, same classmate, who has hit a couple of those already. I can't say that I think Cam Smith's a better golfer than Hovland, but I'll tell you this. Hovland's short game got him in trouble again this past tournament. That's something you're never going to say about Cam Smith.
Correct. All right, here's my other point. Lahiri. What a great story. Like, where did this come from? You were telling me beforehand that before the show that he had had COVID, which I didn't hear of, and I think his coach was down with some surgery or something, not feeling well, but what a performance by Lahiri. Just couldn't be happier for the guy.
I loved seeing it. I had no angle on it for my own financial gain, but I definitely loved seeing it. And yeah, so just part of the broadcast story that I heard, they were talking about, I guess he had COVID, but he had, you know, he had more severe symptoms than other people have had. And he also had the lingering symptoms that like caused him to lose weight. And then an extended period of just, I guess, you know, lack of strength. And so maybe part of the reason that, cause he was, dude, I remember reading an article about him winning the Indian Masters. It's gotta be getting on 10 years ago now, in one of the golf magazines I used to get back when people got print edition stuff sent to their home. Does anyone still do that? So I guess that's the reason he's been out of the loop for a little while. I was certainly cheering for him. Especially once Bradley went into the water with his second shot on 18. And I knew that was no longer in play. Like, I like Cam Smith, but as we just talked about, I think he's got a very bright future. This could have been the biggest moment Lahiri had a chance to make out of it. I hope it's not. Hope to see more of him, but I dug it. I tell you what I also dug, the fact that he hung in there, right? There was some wilting going on by some guys in the final group. He was not that man.
No, I mean, even when I think he got stuck in a palmetto bush on 8, had to take it unplayable, and sound like he made a pretty good double bogey, all things considered.
He did, and he didn't drop from the tee to make double bogey either. Like, he must have been really rattled by that tee shot, because he dropped and then pretty much skied a flop shot over that landed on the green, but left him with a severe two-putt.
Right. But, I mean,
so is that right? Drop two, hit three? Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But he was a guy who I think was, like, in the 300s in the world rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Had no, I don't think he had any, I mean, he was deep in the FedEx Cup playoff. He won $2 million over, I think he won over $2 million for solo second.
It's awesome.
He's now guaranteed, I mean, he's basically in the playoffs, so he has his card next year, and he's now top 100 in the world. Like, I love those stories. Just like Ryan Brem last week at Puerto Rico, winning on his last start of his major medical. And
yeah, whatever it was, it was the last chance. It was, and he needed what? Either a solo second or a win, right?
Right. Like, I love, you know, it's, these are the stories that we see in golf that, you know, we don't always see in the other team sports. Like, there's some great stories of individuals in team sports, but in a sport where there's no teammates, no other thing like that, to see what Brem in Puerto Rico and even Lahiri, what he did last week, I just love those stories. And could you imagine if he had won? Like, you know, we've seen the explosion of golf in China. Like, India's, you know, I think just, you know, doesn't, India's just a little behind as far as population. Like,
but it's huge.
Right, but man, I mean, even Lahiri's second's going to have some booms there. Like, just, I love the, you know, and with Hideki winning what it did to Japan, the Masters, and even winning at home at Zozo. And I just, you know, and of course, you know, how could we forget Silver Sabs with his Slovakian connection? I mean, I just love those stories. You know, these are the, I don't know what you want to call them, outside of golf storylines, but I don't know, there's something that just makes you root for these guys.
Yeah, it's that human element that takes, you know, yes. Like, we all love to watch John Rahm hit an amazing shot that we expect, or Justin Thomas. But these guys that are much more normal people than these superstar golfers that have these moments. I mean, there's a reason I like Boo Weekly and Charlie Hoffman, right? There's a reason you don't catch me sporting, you know, Tiger Woods gear and Rory McIlroy gear. Like, there's a reason I like these guys. It's because those underdogs winning. It's just, I don't know, that's what I love about sports. I don't know, that's why I hate the Yankees. But then again, I grew up in the Midwest. If I grew up a Yankees fan, I might love Tiger and no one else. And so, you know, it's maybe a product of how I was brought about. But I'm with you. Those are the stories. Those are the things that get me worked up.
Yeah, like, you know, here I'm also throwing my John Deere reference in. Like, Michael Kim, who had been struggling so much when he just had the week of his, you know, week of his life and just blitzed the John Deere field a few years ago, like, and he struggled after, you know, before and after, but just coming on over to win was like, oh, you know, I was like, where is this coming from? How awesome is that? Like, mm-hmm. his whole family there. Like, it was just a really cool moment. So even Cam Smith, you know, I guess he didn't get to see his mom and sister for 2 years because of COVID rules in Australia and the United States. The fact that I think this was, what, the first time he got to see him was this past week, and he wins with him there. Like, that's another awesome story.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. I know, I mean, obviously Australia being an island, if they want to isolate, it's a lot easier for them to do. I heard that story over the weekend, but I didn't realize that he hadn't seen his family since then. I mean, hell, I've been to Mexico twice since that happened, but different country, obviously a neighboring with border and everything.
Right, I might be wrong, but I know there was...
No, that's what I heard. You are correct. That's why I hadn't realized it before this week, but no, I heard the same thing. That's what got him emotional in his post round four presser.
Yeah, but no, just really cool to see, you know, these stories, you know, and I don't know, as you said, that human element, I think, is just hard to beat.
Well, Skeeter, anything else from the players before we take it to the Valspar?
One other thing, I guess there was, shocker, on Twitter, some complaints about 17 being unfair, like, during the weather, like,
it was that one day. I mean, it is what it is. It was a terrible draw for the whatever.
Yeah. Like, it's perfectly designed as it is, you know. Hey, guess what? Weather's bad. Like, anybody want to go change St. Andrews or Carnoustie because of weather? Like, give me a break. Like, no. It just happens.
Yeah, it happens. Very unfortunate for anyone like, you know, us who try to play DFS lineups if you weren't on the right side of the morning late wave draw, you know. But to the people that are that upset about it, just laugh it off like Brooksy did.
Yeah, like, it's a widely variant tournament to begin with, you know. Hey, it's Florida, weather's going to happen. I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, you're that close to the ocean, right? It's not an ocean course, but it's that close to the ocean. You're going to get that breeze.
Right, or get these random storms that come up, like, it happens.
Well, Skeeter, as I mentioned, my bankroll last week was protected a little bit from an absolute plunge into the red. But what do you say we move to the Valspar and paint our bankroll black?
Oh, going with the corporate sponsorship of Valspar Paint. Nicely done.
That just came to me, and then I was like, I can't not do it now. So here we are. You ready to talk Valspar?
Yep.
All right, it's the Innisbrook Resort, the Copperhead Course, Palm Harbor, Florida. Skeeter, last week it was kind of a course that tests all abilities. What is it that we're looking for this week? What are the stats and the type of player we're in search of?
Well, I think this week kind of could play similar. Around the green actually popped up a little bit, scrambling a little bit more than I would have thought, but it's not overly difficult to do, but it does play a role. Putting and approach were the two big stats that kind of popped up as far as strokes gained. But we've seen cuts here over par, so I think birdies are better and bogey avoidance is one of those weeks where I think you want to have some nice combination of both. There are four par fives, so looking at par fives. I'm not weighing in my model, but I am going to look at eagles. You know, it was amazing last week. Like, you know, Hovland, I think, had three eagles, maybe more. Like, just the impact that those things make in DraftKings scoring is huge. So
Lahiri had three last week.
Oh, wow.
As well, yeah, because he made eagle on one of the, I think, nine, maybe, in the final round. They were talking about, like, three eagles in a tournament is a big deal, so, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's just something to just kind of keep an eye on. It's hard to measure that, but, you know, boy, it gets the DraftKings points up a lot. And then proximity for 150-plus, because that's where most of the shots are coming in from, the approaches. Like, it was a small difference between 150, 175, 175, 200, and 200-plus, so... Those are the three that I'm going to kind of be looking at, along with tee to green and things like that. So, last stats, top heavy field. Like, there's some names here that are pretty good. And when we get to the eights and the nines, I don't know what I'm going to do with them yet.
I do. I think we talked about this briefly prior. There weren't as many withdrawals as expected. This is a better field than I would have expected with a late Monday finish. But to that point, before we get into the field, anyone setting lineups, you don't necessarily have to get up Thursday early and check your lineup if you don't want to. But I'd give it a good look Wednesday night before you go to bed. Just make sure you're not playing anybody who's decided that they need a little rest.
Right. Probably, again, the guys who made the cuts at the players, like, you know, Somebody like Morikawa, yeah. I can't imagine he's going to go anywhere, but, you know.
But Hovland or Lowry, maybe even a Sam Burns, you know, guys like that who could potentially say, hey, I need a week off after that.
Yeah. Well, and then there's also Louis, who, of course, as we know, has a little bit of a history with withdrawals, has been pretty good lately, but watch this be the week he...
He's been very good lately. I didn't even complain about Hideki withdrawing after we put the players to bed. I used him in one and done. I used him in several lineups, but I did hit him at the Masters last week. So I've been doing or last year. I've been doing everything in my power. I didn't even bring it up yet, but you mentioned withdrawal. I have to mention Hideki. This is the pass. This is the hall pass. We better not see this again.
I mean, at least you have an. I did just as well. You in one and done. My guy didn't withdraw. So.
Yeah, well, you can use Hideki later, I guess. Well, what do you say? Let's get into this field, Skeeter, and let's do it. We'll start at the 10K plus. It starts with Justin Thomas at 11 even. Victor Hovland's 10-8. Colin Morikawa's 10-7. Xander Schauffele, 10-3. Dustin Johnson, 10-2. Skeeter, you got a favorite in that tier?
Yeah, I mean, I got... This tier, I like four of the five. How's that?
I like all five, really. You could talk me into all five of them, so I'm cool with that.
There's one I have no interest in.
Okay, that's probably my favorite. I can't wait.
Compared to the others. I mean, I can't quit Hovland.
Okay.
Like, 10-8, like, his approach numbers, his birdie numbers are great. He's top six in all those proximity ranges over the past 36 rounds. The scrambling is a concern, especially if he finds a bunker. That is an issue, but... His tee to green, his scoring, his par five strokes gain, just terrific. 10-8. I think there's been a little bit of a psychological price with, you know, only 200 behind Thomas, 100 above Morikawa, and Morikawa is the better player. But man, Hovland is just he's doing everything right now except winning. He just hasn't won, but that's, you know. He's won overseas, just hasn't done it here this calendar year, but it's coming for Victor.
All right, I told you I was in on all five guys. I could play all five. I know this isn't the order we normally go, but since he's the topic already, Victor's my fade.
Oh!
The only reason he's my fade, and look, I would use him in any, like our fantasy league, I would clearly use him without a second of thought. He's my fade out of the 10K plus tier because he is the one guy that was as involved in the finish as anyone else late on a Monday. And I'm not necessarily worried about fatigue with 2 days off and he goes to the tournament physically. I'm worried about a little bit of a mental fatigue coming off of a humongous purse that he was fighting for. And so, again, as I said beforehand, you could talk me into Victor Hovland. I'm not telling you that he's an outright bad play. He's my fade. And mostly just because of the price and the fact that he simply, and I do like the guy below him a lot, but he's my fave because I have to pick somebody out of the mental fatigue there. The idea of it happening certainly seems believable in this case.
Yeah. And it looks like four of the five in this 10K plus range are getting some attention.
My favorite, I got to go with DJ, man. As much as I faded him and I was terrified of him last week, after he played pretty good the first two rounds, 76 in round three was not good, but my man set a course record 63. I believe that's what they said, course record 63. On Sunday, tied it. And he played back to front. He wasn't really in contention to get that backdoor top 10. But I feel like if this is cheap DJ, he's the cheapest of the five. He showed a ton of form. I would imagine that, A, there's never any mental fatigue because he feels no pressure. I mean, he's just not bothered by things like a Monday finish or whatever. I feel like I saw the game coming on, too. And I don't know that this has a whole hill of beans worth arguing over. But if I'm not mistaken, he's dropped down to number 10 in the official world golf rankings. He needs to move up before he falls out of that top 10, which I would imagine means a little something to every golfer to just of that tier to say, I want to stay in the top 10 of the world golf ranking. Maybe I'm overplaying that quite a bit, but I'm going to go with DJ.
Yeah, I didn't expect him to be in this field. So there might be something to look. He's on my list too. I mean, anytime you get Dustin Johnson in the low 10s, I'm interested. And he rates out pretty well across all models. Not surprising. Good birdies are better. Good opportunities gained. Second putting. Fifth in par five strokes gained. Doesn't really have a huge weakness. His worst stat is 54th in scrambling. So I have, I mean, I'm a DJ guy, so I have no problem going with him at 10-2.
Who are you going with your second?
Morikawa. You know, it's going to be a little bit of a bounce back, I think, from last week. He was part of the wrong wave and just didn't respond in the second round. Hey, it happens. Still elite ball striker. Still good from the proximity ranges. Scrambling, again, maybe a slight concern, but I have no problem going off of him with the missed cuts. You know, it's the players. Things happen. He was on the wrong weather side. I'm not worried about it for Morikawa.
I am not holding a missed cut at the players against anyone, and I wouldn't even if they were in the early, late T wave. It's the players, man. I'm not going to hold a missed cut against anybody. Colin Morikawa is my number two, too. I could, and that's part of what made Hovland my five, the lowest guy. You said all the things about Hovland, or Morikawa. He gets a complete pass on my account from the late, early T wave that he was in with Scheffler, with Schauffele, with Brooks. They all didn't make the cut for a reason. I could be steered towards JT as my number two, even at the highest priced player, because let's be honest, he was in the wrong T wave and still showed out pretty good. The 3-under round he had might have been the best round of his life in those crazy conditions.
Yeah, and I mean, he's number one in my model over the past 36 rounds. He's number one tee to green opportunities gain proximity from 150 to 175, 175 to 200. Like, outside the putter, everything else is pretty elite. So, yeah, that's my problem right now is I have these four guys that I like. Like, Xander for me is a clear five. Just hasn't been doing much, and I don't know why. Why is he higher than Dustin? Like, I don't get that one.
Before the players miscut, which I think the pricing probably gives a little bit of a pass to Xander in this course, he was 13th at Genesis. He was third at Waste Management. It wasn't as if he was playing terrible. I mean, his 34th at Farmers, his 12th at Century. I mean, look at what DJ's been doing, right? He missed a cut. He's been like 40th or 25th. 45th, 25th for his, October, going back to the CJ Cup, we'll waive the 45th, but 25th at Farmers, and he missed the cut at Genesis. So DJ's had one good tournament this year. So I'm not opposed to Xander. In fact, it's funny. I had Xander as my five, and I switched him to my four and Hovland as my five because of the mental fatigue and the fact that Xander really just got a bad T-wave, and then throw in the fact that he's cheaper. But I'm with you. I don't have a problem with Xander being number four in this tier above DJ. I really don't.
See, I don't have Xander in the same tier as DJ when we're thinking of like overall golf perspective like right now. I still have DJ in that part one tier and Xander maybe more of the upper tier two. So I guess that's probably a bias for me.
DJ is an all-time great. He retires today. He is an all-time great World Golf Hall of Famer. Xander, I don't believe is, but I do think that Xander gets there. But I agree with you. DJ is one of the premier all-time best. Xander has a chance to be close to that tier. So I'm with you. I just think the current form before the players was much in favor of Xander.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Let's take it to the 8K, the 9Ks, will you?
Okay.
I almost skipped this whole tier, and I did not want to do that because Louis Oosthuizen's 99. Tyrrell Hatton's 98. Lowry is 97. Sam Burns, 96. Paul Casey, one of the high-priced withdrawals, was 95. He is out. Brooks Koepka's 94. Abe Anser, 93. Jason Kokrak, 92. Tommy Fleetwood, 91. Matt Fitzpatrick, 9K even. Skeeter, who's your favorite in this tier?
I don't know if I enter this tier. Like, this is one of my, I'm thinking about just playing 10K and skipping 9 and 8. I'm not committed to that one yet, but it's in my thought process. There's two guys I have interest in. The first one's Shane Lowry at 9,700. Unfortunately, everybody in their cousin has interest in him. He's projected to be the most popular player in this, you know, 10 to 9K range. And I mean, he's coming off a pretty good players. He's top five in approach, opportunities gained tee to green over the past 36 rounds. Rates out very well in those proximities from 150 to 200 plus. Really, the only thing he struggles with par five strokes gained in eagles, so that's a rare thing. So, you know, maybe if we look at a forecast of weather is going to be a little bit of a factor, maybe Lowry's there. But even if not, 9,700, it's I don't remember paying, you know, more for Lowry than this number, but the way he's playing right now, he's had a good Florida swing. He deserves to be this price.
I don't disagree with it all. I like Shane Lowry. I mean, he was one of my bets last week and into my lineups. Maybe this is a James Adams bias, but $100 more is Tyrrell Hatton. And what, if anything, has he done to dissuade me from using him again? He was T13 at the Players. Had a chance there. He's been great since. I mean, but since then, he was second at Arnold Palmer, where, of course, he has a good history. To me, Tyrrell Hatton's just playing outstanding golf. I like Lowry, too, but I'm going Tyrrell Hatton, man. He's he is also, of course, one of my favorite players.
That might be a nice pivot for ownership purposes.
If you did play Lowry and wanted another guy in this tier, or if you even go in this tier, where else are you going?
I mean, his form is okay. His history here is really good. Jason Kokrak. Three straight top 13 finishes. Since 2014, he only has one missed cut. He's three top 10s and two other top 15s. Like, there's something about Copperhead that he likes. Wish his form was a tad better, but I mean, he hasn't missed a cut since Shriners. Just hasn't done a ton, you know, since winning in Houston, but that course history, he's making cuts, his approach numbers are good, his putter is actually working, which is amazing for him. 9,200, I don't mind taking a flyer on Kokrak with all that being, with the tournament history.
He isn't, so I actually like this tier more than you, and with my 10 lineup strategy, I'll be in this tier a bunch. Because I like Hatton, I like Lowry, I like Kokrak, you just mentioned. And honestly, there's two guys that I'm kind of flipping a coin as my number two, and I'll be fair, Kokrak and Lowry could be in that mix too. I like Louis, who's got a really good course history here.
He does.
I like Abe Anser, who's played well here too, by the way. And
top 10 last year, I think.
He hasn't missed a cut in quite a while since going back to Hawaii and the Sony either. So Abe Anser is very interesting to me. Yeah, he was fifth here last year in 2018. He finished 16th. So two top 20s at this tournament. I like this tier a lot, man. I like Louis Hatton, Lowry, Anser, Kokrak. You could even talk me into Sam Burns. Oh, by the way, the defending champ.
Yeah. I think he had a great back nine on Sunday last year to win this thing too.
I can't say I remember that for sure, but I don't doubt you. And Burns hasn't been playing bad after a string of missed cuts. Burns has seemed to find his form again. So the truth of the matter is there's six guys in this tier I like, as opposed to the, you're not sure if you get in there. But again, I'm going to play 20 or 10 lineups. You're not.
Well, I'm going to play five, but I think I just, it's that whole tier thing where I see Thomas Hovland, Morikawa, DJ, and then there's this nice next tier, but I don't know. It just kind of feels like I might want to play the top guys. I'm going to give myself a day to think about it before I finalize lineups, but that's just kind of where I'm thinking right now.
Do you have a name, or is 9K your fade?
9K is likely my fade. Like, Kokrak might be the only one I play. Lowry I was all for, but once I see that everybody's on Lowry, that's a little bit scary to me. So I'd say probably the rest of the 9K tier. I mean, there's guys here, like, I've become a Louis. I like Louis. Hatton, I've been, like him. Kepka, even though he missed a cut last week, I still think he provides some interesting value. Love Tommy, but I can't get over the fact that I think I just like so many in the 10K that if I double up, I can't play the nines, and it might be a strategy I'd try this week. I don't know yet.
Yeah, you can't play them all. That's absolutely true. So that leaves three guys left to be my fade. I don't feel strongly about fading any of them. I guess I'm fading Tommy Fleetwood, but I don't have like a hard stance on that one. He's been playing decent as of late. Doesn't have a course history here. Matt Fitzpatrick missed one cut, but has been really good since. And as you said, the upside's there with Koepka. I'm going to call Fleetwood my fade, but I like this tier a lot more than you do, I think.
Oh, well, definitely. Yes.
Shall we take it to 8Ks?
Yep.
8K tier is full this week. It starts with 8,900, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, 88, Alex Noren, 87, HV3's, 86, Gary Woodland, 85, a defending champ, Keegan Bradley, 84, Webb Simpson, 83, Kevin Kisner, 82, Russ Knox, 81, Cam Tringali, 8K. Skeeter, I agree with you, though. I do like this tier. Where are you going as your favorite?
I got guys I like here. But again, the short week's going to really throw me off on strategy because I'm going to have to make a decision here. I'm not there yet. I guess it's going to be Keegan. I mean,
nice.
Oh, God. That's tough to say, because I usually get burned by him. I mean, he did everything we wanted him to do last week. Gained 5.5 shots on approach, gained 4.5 on approach. He lost 1.1 putting. If he can maintain, if he can only lose one stroke putting every week, he's going to keep doing this. But coming off of 11th and Arnold Palmer, 5th of the players, I mean, he's in good form. Rates out very well statistically. Third opportunities gained, 6th in tee to green, 7th and 13th in proximities from 175 plus. He makes, I mean, this 8,400, that's an affordable price for a guy who's playing well. The only two issues, number one, everybody's on him again. Oh, and that's it. Chalky Keegan Bradley's not something I don't know if I want to be a part of. But number two, what's his mindset after, you know, because he finished 17, 18. I think he, didn't he go double single bogey to finish?
Double single, yeah. A triple, a three putt. No. He went single double. He three putted 17, and then he did much like Cam Smith did, punched out and into the water on 18, but he was unable to get up and down from the drop. He had to two putt to make a double. So he went single double for a +3 on the final two holes.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess that's the other concern is what's his psyche like after that?
I'm not sure he's my first or my second, but he is in play for me. I guess I'm going Bubba Watson as my favorite. Oh. Now, let's be honest. Bubba made an absolute run the day the wind was blowing like crazy. When the wind wasn't, Bubba didn't play that great. It was, and he even, I was listening to his interview after the fact, and he said, you know, it was just a good day for Bubba golf. But what we know about Bubba is he likes his own courses, and yes, he missed the cut at Genesis, so hopefully that puts him off of some people's radar. But Bubba Watson has finished 13th and 4th the last 2 years here. Now, granted, there was no tournament played here in 2020, but in the last 2 years played here over the span of 3 years, Bubba Watson has a 13th and a 4th. I'll take Bubba Watson, who I would imagine has some decent mojo, although it wasn't as if he finished the weekend great, but this is a Bubba course. I'm going to give it a whirl.
Okay, that's fair. I would not have thought this was about a course, but yeah. Okay.
It doesn't mean it has to be. Let's see what it is after. We'll reevaluate that in a week.
Right, but I mean, we've seen two top 15s in a row, so that's usually a good sign for him.
Yeah. If you go away from Keegan, where else would you go here?
I might have to. I didn't realize he was going to be, like, approaching Lowry for chalkiness, but, you know, another guy who made a nice run, the players had a kind of rough final round. But Harold Varner, 8,600. I mean, we know he'll score. Good birdie, good approach, good tee to green. Basically, does a lot of things well for the past 36 rounds. Even short-term models, you know, last eight rounds, he's 30th in my model, but everything else, he's top 15. You know, he seems to be playing well, 8,600. What's his history here? I did not look at that.
It didn't ring out to me before.
Yeah, miscut, 78th, 65th, didn't play last year. But, you know, we saw him win overseas. What made an appearance, you know, on the leaderboard of the players. He scores well. I don't think this is a bad price on him at 86.
I'm not opposed to it. I think I'm going Russell Knox, my number two. I thought about making him my number one. His course history is just off the chain, man. 21st, 24th, 16th are his last three finishes here over the past 4 years. He came off of a really strong performance at the Players, which was, you know, a -2 final round, but he finished T6. He was kind of before that, right? He was 55th at Honda, and then he had three consecutive T33s. I like Russ Knox right now. I like what I saw from the Players, and then I like the course history here. So just seems like an easy number two for me to throw up there.
Yeah, he's another one that's going to be popular, but, I mean, it's for good reason. Putting is his short game is the concern here. He's 137th in putting, 134th in scrambling over the past 36 rounds, but top 10 in approach, tee to green, proximity from 150 to 175, good par 5 guy. So, yeah, if he can hit a bunch of greens, and he seems to like this course, it makes sense.
Any other players that interest you here?
I do not have any.
All right, I might be interested in some Gary Woodland again. He's won this tournament before. What's your take on Kevin Kisner? He's had a favorable finish here before, and he obviously played very good last week.
He still does. I mean, it was all he gained 6 strokes around the green, 6 strokes putting. Like, that just screams no thank you to me. So he's my fade just because the approach numbers haven't been there. And I just, I don't know. Like that, those, when I see that, that's, that concerns me a little bit.
Okay. Alex Noren, I also have interest in. Does he have any, do anything for you?
No, I have not. I haven't gotten on him yet. Again, I think I like Varner better. I like Keegan better. I like Woodland better.
Fair enough. Who are you fading here? Or you said Kisner is your fade.
Yeah.
I assume my fade, because if I like the 9K tier, I guess I'm fading Jason Day. He got off to a really nice start, a -4 in the first round. He was in the favorable T-wave, did not make the cut. He fired a 78, a +6 in the second round. I just don't know what happened with him. I guess, you know, the emotions of his mother's passing came over him. The time sitting around might have been bad for him, right, with all that time off after the first good round. Like, I don't know what happened, because I was like, you know, I was kind of trying to – I bet him as well last week, and I was hoping that he would be riding that emotional wave high. I'm going to step away from him because he hasn't played here but once recently and didn't do so well here, and I guess I just got to see him do it well. I hope he does, but I'm going to fade him for that reason.
Yeah. By the way, is it weird that we – with this whole tier, and we have Webb Simpson at 8,300, didn't talk about him.
He was almost my fade. He was almost my fade.
I know. I hope he figures something out, because something's clearly not right with him.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know what, he had his hot streak. He's had a couple of hot streaks in his career. Maybe that was the end of it. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm not on Webb Simpson at all. His number is intriguing, but, I mean, what has he done? RSM's the last time we've seen a top 10 from a man, and, well, that was calendar.
Yeah, this
under year 2021.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like a field that he's just going to randomly pop at either.
Absolutely not. I don't think so either. This is not a lesser field like some of the other tournaments where he can dominate.
Right.
Well, you ready to go 7K?
Yep.
All right, we got a few withdrawals. I'm not going to read through all the names, but the two I know that are withdrawn so far are guys to keep an eye on. Both in, I think, the final group yesterday, right? Sebastian Munoz and Doug Gim.
Gim
wasn't in the final group. No. He was. Yeah, that's right. He was in the second to last group 2 years ago.
Right. I don't think he was. Maybe he was in a third to final group yesterday, because I don't think he was with Smith and Casey, was he?
No, wasn't Burns with him?
Yes, you're right.
Okay, yeah. So, at any rate, those two are out. Two guys who fared pretty well last week. But at any rate, those guys are out, so keep that in mind. Keep the eye out for all other withdrawals, too. But, Skeeter, of the guys who are still in the field, who stands out to you?
Nobody really in the 7Ks is jumping out at me, but I'll make my fair. I'll go back to CT Pan. 7,300 rates out very well in the short-term models. His long-term model, not bad. 20th tee to green, 18th to par 5s. Not a great putter, or his putter is slightly below average. Good proximity from 150 to 200 yards, so I like that. 16th at Honda, 9th at Genesis before he missed at the Players. And again, Players is his own little beast. Like, solid player, not expecting a ton, but 7,300 might get me, you know, if I'm double dipping above 10K, gives me a little bit, you know, access to, this is the range I'm going to have to be in, so I don't mind him at all.
There's a couple of names that are kind of standing out as my potential favorites here. Oh, it hurts me to not go with Adam Hadwin, who will be my number two probably. Let's go Kevin Streelman.
Also very popular Hadwin. People are on him.
Not surprising, even though he is 7,900. I am going to go with Streelman. Coming off of a T22 at the Players, and yes, he missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer, but he was T16 at the Honda. So that's two out of the last three tournaments that have been very promising for one Kevin Streelman. And his price is cheap here. He's won this tournament 10 years ago, practically. He also finished 18th in 2017. He's missed the cut the last 3 years, three of the last 4 years. That is troubling, no question. But the ups and the downs come together when you get a $7,700 player. So I'll go Streelman, who I'm also betting. I think you are, too.
Yeah, 130-1. I already got in on that one.
Good for you.
That's just too high of a number for him.
I don't disagree.
But, yeah, I mean, 60th at Honda. His irons are okay. It was putting off the tee, actually, for him, which is surprising. Mr. Arnold Palmer, irons are bad, but gained 3.7 strokes in approach to the Players, lost 2.4 around the green. He's usually much better around the green. His putter was good. Like, he puts everything together, and again, he's won here. Sneaky play. Like, I will probably plan on using him.
Is he your favorite? You got a different one for me.
Well, CT Pan is the one I mentioned is my favorite.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Is he your second, I should say?
Again, I don't know if I have a second. I'll just mention some of the guys I have started here. I'm with you on Adam Hadwin, but again, this might be a getaway because everybody's on him. Aaron Wise starting to make a little bit more of an appearance here. His irons are back. His putter has really cooled off. He's lost 9.4 strokes the past two tournaments. So that is a concern with old Aaron Wise. I mean, Molinari's my guy, so I'll probably go back there.
Same here.
Johnny Vegas, good approach numbers. Everything else is kind of but that's okay. Martin Laird has some of the best numbers in that proximity from 150 plus. He's 6th from 150 to 175, 3rd from 200 plus. Raced out very well, tee to green. Just not a birdie maker, doesn't make a ton of putts, so that is a little bit of concern. And then stat hero Mito Pereira will also, I'm sure, get a lot of people's attention. Bad par 5, bad birdies are better, but everything else, good scrambler, good tee to green. He'll, I'm sure, make some lineups.
What about Christian Bezuidenhout? I know he didn't play last week, but he's been playing pretty good.
Yeah, I looked at him. I don't think I'm going to get there. Unless maybe that's my pivot off Hadwin.
I'm thinking the same thing, too, with him being evenly priced.
Yeah, even though he's still going to get some attention, but I feel like Bezuidenhout, okay. I remember playing him in California, missed at Genesis, but 25th at Honda, 20th at Arnold Palmer. He's playing well.
It's been solid outside of that one missed cut, man.
I guess he was in better form than I thought he was, so.
And I'm hoping that he gets bypassed a little bit because while Hadwin had a really nice finish to the players, he wasn't involved, Christian Bezuidenhout. So I'm hoping that there's a little bit of just blinders on him.
There isn't.
Fair enough. What about one Dr. Redman?
Really? What did he finish in the players? Because I know he was kind of floating on 26. Okay.
Decent, good. Yeah. Get this. My girlfriend uses him as her D-golfer, and I'm not going to tell her not to do anything because that's the whole idea of getting one of these unique lineups from her.
Yep.
She uses Hideki. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. He withdrew. I get the email saying, hey, you automatically get the top golfer in the tier. It's Brooks Koepka in the B tier. I went, wow, babe, that worked out good for you. And then he's in that T wave and doesn't make the cut. But, yeah, my girlfriend was on Doc Redman last week. I don't know what that means. It's a name she probably heard me say is the only reason.
I feel like he's kind of sneaking around a little bit. Like, doesn't have that top finish, but feels like something. He's starting to get some form back. His irons have been good. He struggles around the green, so that is a little bit of a concern here. But I don't hate Doc.
Okay. I don't think there's any other names that I am interested in. Obviously, Charlie Hoffman has been decent here in recent years, but as you know, I'm going to play him. I'm going to bet him. Doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You got a fade for me?
Yeah, what? I know he made a cut last year here, but what has Brendan Grace done recently?
Doesn't he have a decent course history?
Does he?
Because I was kind of considering him, but he hasn't been playing great. I could be over-exaggerating that.
In fact, I saw you made the cut of the players. I'll be honest, I didn't even know he was in the field.
He finished 8th here, Brendan Grace did, in 2018. Other than that, it's been mediocre at best.
Like, I'm looking at the players like, I didn't even know he was in the field, let alone make the cut. This is an odd stat. He lost 5.8 strokes at approach, gained 5.7 around the green. Again, not exactly a combination that I'm really looking forward to. So, for me, I'm going to pass on Brendan Grace.
Trying to find somebody to really fade here. I guess I'm going to probably be fading my boy Bernd Wiesberger, and for any other reason that he's in a tier, when you talk about the pricing, at 7,800, where I'm going to use Streelman at 77, or I'm going to use Seabez or Adam Hadwin at 79. So Wiesberger's a guy I'm fading, and I'm not really fading him like I tell you he's an awful play, but I just, there's no chance I'll use him with those guys at that numbers right next to him.
I like Wiesberger too, but yeah, I'm not. He does not translate very well these states, or he hasn't done it yet.
Are you ready for the 6Ks?
No, but sure.
So, assuming these guys stay in the field, if the people putting tee times together, and I think they're out, and I haven't looked at them yet because I saw something just a second ago. I think they're out. If Zach Johnson and Henrik Stenson are not in the same T group together Thursday, Friday, it is an absolute travesty. Henrik Stenson just named to the Ryder Cup captaincy in 2023. Zach Johnson was just named a U.S. captain not but 2 weeks ago. Those two had better be playing together. It would be just terrible if they're not.
Oh, they're not even in the same wave.
They're not? Why, dude? Why?
I don't know.
Like, doesn't it just make sense to put those two guys together? Oh, former major champions. Like, that in itself is something they kind of do with guys. You know, older folks like you or I might want to go walk with Henrik and Zach on a Thursday because we have fond memories of them. They're battling at the Ryder Cup in 2 years in Rome. Like, why wouldn't you put them two together?
Hey, let's...
Not like Brooks and Bryson are going to fight. These two like each other. Zach Johnson talked about how much he likes Henrik. He looks forward to playing with him while they get ready for the Ryder Cup.
Did Zach beat Henrik in a playoff? Was Henrik a part of that playoff at St. Anne? No, that was Leishman and Louis, wasn't it?
Yeah, was Phil and Henrik had that massive run. Yes. I don't know. I forget which one won that one. I think Henrik won
Henrik
that one.
Did, yeah.
But it was Phil and Henrik that ran away from the field at the Open that I remember.
Yes.
Like I can't tell you I remember a whole lot about Stenson's career other than that, frankly.
By the way, how about Henrik comes to the John Deere so that they can play... those two with Steve Stricker, the defending Ryder Cup champion.
Sure. Sure. I mean, now Henrik might have a problem with that because he'd say, hey, wait a minute now. He gets 2 days to talk to the last captain that won or whatever. Or not. No, did Stricker win? Stricker did not win. Did he?
Yeah, he was captain at Whistling Straits.
What was Azinger captain?
President's Cup?
Okay, maybe that's where I'm confused. So I was bashing Azinger last week. Maybe I completely missed the ball on that. At any rate. Was Singer? Singer was the Ryder Cup captain in 08 when they won in Valhalla, wasn't he? Is that why I remember that?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think he was. We're going to have to look into this after the show now. But at any rate, those two should be paired together. I'm not playing either one of them, I don't think. They're not paired together. Let's get back to the matter at hand, which is the Copperhead course in Innisbrook for the Valspar. And the 6K tier, do you have anybody you're even interested in?
I mean, I got names. Nobody I'm going my way for. Like, JJ Spahn is actually in decent form, but he's a guy I've played a few times and never gotten him right. Like, yeah, good through California, 30th at Honda, 52nd at Arnold Palmer. Could not make a putt at the Players. Happens. Around the green is a little bit of a concern, but he kind of popped a little bit. Matthew Neesmith, I think, had that range of... yeah, pretty good for those proximity rates. So I like, just can he make a putt? Vaughn Taylor looks like he's going to come in very popular. Pretty solid across the board. Nothing fancy or flashy. So those are three guys I'm kind of looking up in the upper sevens. I got a couple at 6,500, but I'll save them in case you want to get on them.
I think my favorite at 6,800 is Sung Kang. 22 at Puerto Rico, missed the cut at Honda, was 26 at Waste Management, 42nd at AT&T, Pebble Beach. At 6,800, that's a decent price for a guy who in 2019 finished 18th, in 2016 finished 22 here. And he's missed the cut twice as well. But I might take a chance with Sung Kang, who's shown some decent run.
Don't play him in more than two lineups.
Okay, why?
He legit has DFL potential.
Okay, well, I'm fine with that at 6,800, but I'm with you. That's fair. And I'll be honest with you. Last week, I think Keegan was 6,900, and Munoz, who you got me on, was a little cheaper. Harmon was 69. I had those in multiple lineups. I had 40 to 30% of those guys. That was an extreme rarity for me. I rarely have more than 20% of, even if it's Jim Herman or Seagull when he's struggling, of a 6K guy. But I will take that to note.
Yeah, well, I guess who didn't play Munoz in DraftKings despite using them in your little contest?
That's incredible that you did not use him. You mentioned Cam Smith. I thought for sure you might have had a Cam Smith, Sebastian Munoz lineup, dude.
No, because as I was starting to look at die stats and other recent form, I had to start cutting people, and it just kind of eventually... I don't remember what part of the cut process they were for me, but, you know, they... Yeah, they got cut, so I'm really good at that. I guess that's what I need to start doing. I need to start saying, like, who are my final cuts and see where they're at.
You don't want to. There's only pain. You'll only remember the bad ones. You might make 90% good calls, and you'll only remember the bad ones.
Okay.
Trust me, I still think about starting Tom Brady over Cam Newton 15 years ago. Not really, but 10 years ago that cost me at least $2,000, if not more.
So I want to get into this ever so slightly, because I... I've changed my process this year where I'm playing five lineups. Like, I finally had to adopt multi-entry just because of golf. Like, last year, like, I was trying to play three-entry. I'd cut it down to eight or nine. It felt like, okay, players 10 and 11 are the ones that are doing well, and they're my last cuts. And so that's why almost, you know, now that I'm playing those extra six players, I feel like it's made a difference. At least so far it has. Could be variance. We'll see, but... So, I mean, that was one of those recognition things I think I kind of caught about myself. Like, no, I gotta up my lineups and just play these guys and be okay playing a guy in one of five lineups. Like, I gotta be okay with that. So, you know, maybe that's worth it. You know, that's why I might start trying to figure out who are my final five cuts, you know, when I go from 20 to 15. And what's that? Is that working out or, you know, potential process thing for next year?
You're doing pretty good right now. You can't use everybody, and you're doing pretty good right now. So don't be too hard on your process with those guys being last out, because let's keep in mind, you said reciprocal. I got you on Keegan Bradley. He was the best player of those 6K guys last week.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, thank you. Even though I played him in one lineup, and it was the one lineup that didn't cash because it was 3-6, it wasn't because of Keegan. It was because, you know, Morikawa, Brooks, and Scott. But, you know, it happens.
It does happen. Anyone else from 6K that you have your eye on?
Yeah, I got two guys. One's Kramer Hickok at 65. Okay. Was he like first round? He kind of floating on first round leader. Good approach numbers. Good off the tee last week. The players. A little bit of a struggle beforehand, but his irons have been okay. Around the green is a little bit of a concern, but the one that kind of got my interest at 6,500 is Kurt Kitayama. Third at Honda, 28th at Puerto Rico. He gained seven strokes on approach at Honda, 5.5 putting. Another Euro, you know, played a little bit on the Euro or the DP World Tour. That's going to take me a while to get used to that one. Like, I just hit the corn fairy quickly, but.
Here's the point, though. It's still being played mostly in Europe, so it's okay.
Right, but that's still going to take me a little while to get used to. But, you know, after a rough start to the calendar year, it looks like he has at least picked up a little steam again in the last two tournaments, but I know one is Puerto Rico, but was third at Honda, and, you know, both similar environments here. So I don't mind him at 6,500 with a little bit of Euro. He had some success in Euro Tour, and we've seen the Euro Tour players play well in Florida. So
let me throw a couple names at you.
Okay.
Graham McDowell.
I looked at him. Why did I not end up on him?
He's been up and down, as he has been at this course.
13th at API, missed at Phoenix, 40th at Amex. Yeah, his approach numbers have been good. This hasn't been doing a ton wrong.
Maybe he's mad he didn't get Ryder Cup captaincy and he'll be playing with a little fire in his belly. Maybe he'll get paired with Henrik.
Oh, there you go.
Probably not. I think he's the next Ryder Cup captain.
Oh, okay.
I'm just goofing because I'm salty that Henrik and Zach aren't playing together. I would have liked to watch that on our Thursday or Friday, man.
Oh, absolutely. Need some narrative for Thursday.
What about you? You're dang right. That's why I love playing Thrive, dog. That thing pays out on Thursday, brother.
That's true.
I missed $100 by one stroke on two different golfers on the over, under, and the 72.5. Ugh. Any rate, Hank Lebioda.
He popped somewhere for me too. Where did he?
He was good here last year. He made the cut at the Players. Like, he hasn't been doing great.
What's his price?
He was 13th here last year.
I can't find him. What's his price?
Oh, now you're going to put me on the button because I don't know. 6,600 is his price. He was T63 at the Players. He missed the cut at Honda. He was T67 at Genesis. So, I mean, he's made a few cuts, but that's it.
I mean, he gave five shots on approach to the Players. Again, another guy I didn't even know was in the field, let alone making a cut. I kind of wait until May or June because that's when Hammer and Hank kind of shows up when we get to some of these summer courses, some of these northern courses in the summer when it's nice and warm. So I don't have any interest if you think that he can kind of turn things around with his putter and his short game. The approach was there last week. You can go for it.
Just to be fair, I didn't ask you about two guys that are in the field that are on my team in our fantasy league, just so you know, because Lebioda is. But I didn't ask you about Thigala, and I did not ask you about Denny McCarthy. So just to be fair, I'm not only bringing up guys on my team like I'm trying to be the self-fulfilling prophecy. What about Bill Haas? Would you go back to him at this place? 6,600.
He has been playing a little bit better.
He's been playing okay.
But I think playing okay is what, just making cuts? Yeah, okay. Irons aren't there. Not really doing anything else spectacular. But again, he's made 4 or 5 cuts.
And he's never missed the cut here. Really? Granted, he hasn't played here since... Yeah, he didn't play last time, so he was 13th in 2019. Now, look, if he played here before 2014 on the course file history, I didn't say those words in the right order, but you know what I mean, on the course history file, then it's not on here. But, yes, going back to 2014, his finishes are in 2019, 13th, 49, 41, 2nd, and a 14th.
Has good. I mean, his putter's been hit or miss here. Around the green's been good. Irons have been good 4 of the 5 times he's played off a tee. Eh. Okay.
I feel like he used to be one of your guys too. I could be wrong.
He might have been.
Like before we even started doing the podcast.
I don't remember using him a ton, but like Kuchar was a guy I used a ton.
Okay.
But I don't think I used a ton of Bill Haas, but I'm sure I used him a little bit.
I am going to throw one more name at you. I can't believe I will consider playing the Mr. Missed Cut. Going like on a year streak when he was on my team last year, Peter Malnati, 46 at the Players, missed the cut at the API, +5 wasn't that far from the line. Made the cut at Genesis for a T26, was 65th at Waste Management, 42nd at Pebble Beach. My man's made a lot of cuts other than that one. T25 at Farmers, that's a lot of made cuts outside of the API. He's 6,400, man. His course history here is not great, by the way. It looks more like his finishes from a year ago, mostly missed cuts.
Losing off the tee, just not... His putter's kind of been the main catalyst to when he does well. Just nothing stands out for him, so probably nothing more than a cut maker.
Okay. Some of my good lineups from last week had a couple of 6K guys in them, so I'm just trying to find that... I'm trying to find that magic once again for a little late run on Sunday. Yeah. Hopefully it's a Sunday finish. We'll see.
No Jimmy Herman for you?
You know, I'll use him. But, I mean, he's not been doing anything to write home about. And I've already asked you about half of the guys on my league, on the team in my league, and you know I got Jim Herman. Hey, I mean,
Our guy Kiradash made the cut up Puerto Rico, and he Monday qualified.
What did I see the stat? In the first 11 holes, he had hit 4 greens and was 4 under. He one-putted the first 11 greens.
Oh, he was inspired by Cam Smith's final round.
That's some serious, serious scrambling for par right there, dude. 7 scrambled pars out of the first 11 holes to be 4 under. That's awesome.
Oh, man, there are some names in this field, like some old names. Omar Uresti, Tommy Gainey. DL3, Jonas Blixt, oh man, Mark Hensby, my goodness.
Any other of those names that you feel like playing?
No.
I didn't think so.
I do have an actually legitimate fade this week.
Who is that legitimate fade?
I'll be Scott Piercy. You know,
he has got to be on turbo tilt still, and he had missed so many cuts in a row, too, and he was in line for a chance to make close to $1 million, that 2-under number, which God knows he wasn't going to stay there, or maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but God, he was in line to make a lot of money after missing a ton of cuts. Dude, the look on his face, I mean, I know that look. That's like, I don't know, he was salty. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, like you don't want to see anybody go through that.
I'm going to fade. Who am I going to fade? I don't really have an honest-to-goodness fade for you here.
Well, I usually don't in this range, but...
I mean, I truthfully don't. I'm going to fade Zach Johnson because...
He's not with Stenson. That's
a dumb fade because he actually has a good course history and he's made some cuts. Zach Johnson wouldn't be the worst play in the world here. If I was going to fade one of the two, it'd be Stenson, I would think, who has missed a ton of cuts in a row and not been playing well. So, all right, I'll give you Stenson as a cut. He's getting a little bit of a media bump, and I would say I would rather pay 67 for Graham McDowell than I would for Stenson.
Okay.
Anything else from the DraftKings perspective?
No.
Well, let's take a look at one and done, Skeeter. Yeah. And I hate to say this, but I'm afraid it's time for me to get a little freaky because while some people got 3.6 million, I got roughly 3.6 million less than that.
Same here.
Who did you use?
Morikawa.
I had Victor Hovland in until Wednesday night. And I thought, you know what? Vic's been on a run, man. I like Hideki this week a lot. Like, the guy behind the counter when I made my bets was like, hey, man, I got a nice top five bet on Hideki this week. And I said, yeah, I'm using him in DraftKings. I don't really like his number out here, but I'm using him. He's a great play this week. So I get home. I peel him. And that was even, I think that was on Tuesday. It was the next day. I get home, and it's midnight. Like, I sat around all night messing, tinkering with other stuff. And I take Hovland out, and I put Hideki in, and I just don't deserve to win any money this year. That had nothing to do with my pick this week, by the way, which I should pick Hovland and then he'll withdraw while I'm sleeping Wednesday night.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know who I'm going with here.
This feels like maybe Abe Answer time for me. I don't know if Bezadenhout's a player I would go to at this point. Bubba can be so up and down. His course history intrigues me here. But I don't think I'm using Victor, Justin, or Colin, or Dustin, Xander. I wouldn't even use Sam Burns, the defending champ. I might use Louis, but I probably won't. I think I'm bypassing that top tier. Is that foolish of me?
No.
I say top tier. Really, I mean the top tiers is probably what I'm bypassing.
No, I don't think it's foolish. You know who I just clicked in? Because I just... Kokorak.
I can't use him. I used him at the API. So I've got Answer in there right now. Hopefully I don't change it to somebody who doesn't play or withdraws or misses the cut.
I'm so bad. Like, for as good as I've been doing in DFS this year, oh man, the one and done, I'm running normal. Like, I'm only, what, six, I don't know, $5.5 million first. So, you know what?
I'm right there with you. I'm in 3,150 first place. Only one way to go, Skeeter.
Oh, I still have room to go down. So, I mean,
yeah, I know. That's the only way I can go, too, is continue to plummet.
Yeah.
Continue to plummet. I'm going to need a lot of helium to stop this gravity from sinking this stone to the bottom.
Yeah, like just.
Do we have anything else for Valspar?
No, I don't think so.
I'm sorry, I got to do it one more time. Have we painted a clear enough picture of the tournament this week?
I believe we have. You know, is this time to brush this along?
All right, that works for me.
Okay, good.
That works for me.
The three listeners we have, so thank you. Next week, bracket time.
Oh, is next week? So next week is the match play.
Yes.
Sweet, dude. I'm going to take another half day. I'm going to get my girlfriend to take another half day because the whole watch golf all day Friday, she gets off work at noon. She gets one half day a week. I said, why don't you take Friday? Let's go out. We'll watch golf all day. You see how that worked. Golf got canceled about a half an hour before she got off work. So maybe, which I did do this last year too for the tournament, maybe this will be the match play thing. I think we did a podcast last week. We intend to come back for one next week, yes?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right, good. Because I like filling out that bracket. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't fill out an NCAA bracket. I just didn't. But I will fill one out next week. I might fill multiples out next week. So
I'll fill out an NCAA one. I don't know who I'm picking yet, but I'll fill out a golf one. And then, of course, you know, one of the few tournaments that's the unofficial fifth major 2 weeks from now.
John Deere? Can't be.
No, that's my unofficial fifth major. What's your unofficial?
So I finally stalked hard enough that I found Charlie Hoffman's caddy on Twitter. That's not really true. Some guy tweeted out that he's tweeted out a couple of pictures of the new Charlie Hoffman Open shirt. And I said, hey, man, I tweeted back to him. And the dude's only got like 400 followers. So clearly he's not engaged on Twitter, which is fine. I don't care. But I surely didn't expect him to be Charlie's caddy. And I didn't even look at his profile. I just tweeted back like, hey, man, I would be willing to donate money to the charity to cover the expenses, your time. And then I would donate additional money just as a charitable donation to make it worth you starting this whole process. What can I do to get some of those shirts? He was like, hey, maybe next year. And then I clicked on it. I was like, oh, that's his caddy, dude. So I text him all the obnoxious pictures of like my fantasy team name, Hoffman's Heroes, and the picture that goes with it. I texted him. I didn't text him. I tweeted these out to him. So hopefully I'll have a Valero Open shirt come next year. I have officially been declined admittance into the Hoffman Open shirt club this year. But I'm willing to donate money to the Hoffman Foundation. That should get the needle moving, right?
Did I send that to you, or did I just see?
Probably saw it because I found it randomly, dude, and that's why I didn't even look into who the guy was. I was like, oh, he's getting shirts made. Like, I thought this was some guy that works at a T-shirt shop that just made them for Chuck or something. I was like, all right, let me get some of that, bro. And he said, yeah, maybe next year. I was like, all right, dog.
Yeah, I saw that.
So Valero, I take it, is the week after, which is beautiful. Hopefully that's my last week before I go back to work, because I'll go ahead and make another half day for that.
Well, yeah.
You like how I make half days for other people and not myself?
That happens.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Well, Skeeter, I guess that's all for Valspar. I do look greatly forward to next week as well, because that match play tournament is so awesome, and I assume they're going to do it at the Country Club at Austin, too, which I love that course, too. So looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to getting back in the black this week, getting out of the red from a week ago. So let's make that happen. What do you say?
Yeah, so let's hope that there's no weather delays this week.
I agree, although I love the Monday finish. I was twiddling my thumbs all day Friday, so I agree with you. Well, Skeeter, good luck to you. Good luck to everyone else. I certainly appreciate you listening. I appreciate your help once again, my man, Skeeter. So with that, we will say see you next week. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.